Just eating a sandwich, keep me powered. You do the same. We'll meet here at the end of sandwich. Maybe you were just a decoy. It doesn't matter much to me, boys. You covered up the voices I don't want to hear. Let myself go again. I tried to let you know, but then it's hard to be alone. And I cut right to the bone. I can't make myself be good. I wish I could. Somewhere my conscience turned to petrified on wood. And I can't coming back. Thanks for your sandwich patience. Allison, everybody. She was great, huh? She pointed out to me as she was leaving that I said something like, "This is my good friend." Which I guess I meant in that way, you know, when like a parent says, this is my special friend. Which I don't know. I mean, like, I guess a divorced adult starts dating someone, they don't want to be like, "This is the person I'm railing on the side." But special friend definitely means, like, lover, right? So, just waiting on our next guests here. Which made me think. Because, you know, Allison's her first time. She's saying she was nervous. You know, everyone says they're nervous the first time they come in here. Which I didn't really used to understand. But then I went and sat in when I was in Chicago on my favorite show, Red Bar Radio, which is a great show, redbarradio.net, and I was nervous as hell sitting there. You know what I mean? And I've done a shitty version of this for a long time. So the whole idea of sitting in front of a microphone and whatever is not as big a deal, but I was nervous because it was the people, I guess. So, I mean, I don't know if I can't imagine people are nervous about me as a guy, because they know I've never had anyone here I don't really know. But I felt a version of the nervousness, so I identify. It's cool. Don't worry. I wanted to also, I guess this whole got me thinking, you know, because I'm waiting for these folks to show up. They're about a half hour late. I'm often late myself, so I'm not one to really rail on people for being timely or not. But I did want to talk a little bit about how I think sometimes, I don't know if I come off this way, but doing this show, I feel like a dickhead. Because I feel like that kid who's got a trampoline and is like, "This is my trampoline. I make the rules. You come to my house and jump on the trampoline. We don't go to your house and slide down the stairs in sleeping bags. This is what we do. We trampoline and we do it at my house, bitches." Which is not altogether untrue, but, you know, here's the thing. I'll give you an example. Like, today, you know, I've got everyone scheduled for these times, so it's a little bit difficult when people are late, because then, you know, what am I supposed to do? I can't really launch into some involved thing, all these involved stories that I have, because, you know, someone's going to show up, and then what do I do? I don't have my secretary in today to let them in. And other things happen too, where it's like, when I first started, I had this dry erase board and I put all these rules on it, I remember. And it was stuff like, don't bring your cell phone in here. Don't, you know, don't talk about other shows because, you know, we don't want to, I'm not here to talk about other podcasts. A lot of it was related to stuff where I was like, let's not talk about, you know, how this gets posted and the ins and outs of podcasting and all that and the sound, because I just feel like that's boring for people. It's boring to me when I hear it on other shows, And I also don't want to listen to it, nor do I want to talk about it. So, I mean, I think these things sometimes kind of make me sound like a dildo. You know, that I'm just sort of, mine, this is mine, you know? But the thing I want people to understand is, like, this is a big time involvement for me. Like, people come in, and I love that they come in. But they usually show up, they have a few beers, and then they leave. You know, but in order to get this all together, I mean, it's way beyond just setting up some microphones on a table. You got to set up a website. You have to set up the podcast feed. You have to make that so it updates on iTunes. Oftentimes, this is a process that takes me a lot of time. You know, and there's other little things, too, like I got this computer virus from my own stupid website, and I had to get rid of that. And there's a lot that goes into doing something like this beyond just doing it. So I love that people come in and do it with me and sit here with me. But sometimes we may, you know, make it more difficult. It's frustrating. And I feel like I don't want to be a dick and blow things out of proportion. But I just want to say, for every hour of show, there's like 4 hours of work around. You know what I mean? There's a lot more that goes into it. And it's not like, that's not 100% accurate. It's not like when I do this, I'm going to have 4 hours of work to do. But what I'm saying is, between like maintaining websites, doing that kind of stuff, doing other posts, posting things around the internets, doing all this stuff, I mean, prepping for the show, you know, for example, you know, I cleaned my apartment so people could come over and have a pleasant experience, you know? And that's a good thing to do. I mean, I keep a pretty tidy place most of the time. But so there's more to it than just, hey, just show up, and I just show up. You know, I roll in, flip a couple switches, and we're live. It's like a whole ordeal. I'm not complaining. I like it. This is something I chose to do. But I think I'm just trying to be clear about sometimes if I come off as dickish, if I come off as being, you know, real strict about something or adhering too strongly to the rules, that's why. It's not because I'm, you know, I don't know. I don't have a desire to just be a dick or come off as a weird psychopath who's, you know, trying to manage the internet or something. It's just how I am. Well, I guess we'll just keep kind of going and, you know, hopefully when they show up, it'll be an opportune moment. I got something in the mail the other day. I got a little slip of paper, you know, that looked like a credit card offer or something like that. You know, it says like a confidential message and says their hours and everything. And it's got my address and name and all that stuff. So here's the deal. There was a movie rental place that was, you know, a couple blocks away from here. Now, this place has been closed for probably 3 years. Yeah, I see that the things on here say 09. So it's been about 3 years since you could even enter this place, enter this Hollywood Video. And I rented some videos there. And, you know, had some late fees, but I don't have any outstanding things I didn't return, right? And so then the video store closes. I think you just kind of figure, well, I got out of that one. You know what I mean? And this video store was real dumb. My mom went here for a long time. She's a big fan of having late fees. She likes to have late fees. And she went here all the time because here's what they would do. They would have you come in. They'd check your account. And they would say, here's how many fines you have. Do you want to pay those today? And she would just say no. And she's like, as soon as they say I have to, I will. But until then, I'm just going to keep going, you know? And they never, I don't think they ever caught up with her. And then they close, and it's like, well, she won. You know, I don't know why they would just let you continue. Probably because late fees are not really, I don't know how actionable those are. So here's the funny part. I get this thing in the mail this year. So 3 years after the store is closed, it's a distant memory. And it says, our records, this is a new company. Apparently a company took over Hollywood Video. But they didn't even really take over Hollywood Video. It seems like maybe they just took over the debts that they had. And so I get this letter. Our records indicate you have ignored our previous attempt to resolve your debt that originated with Hollywood Video for the amount of $2,766. To avoid any... Now, that's a pretty good fee, but I mean, that's over a year. I've got a rental here in January and then one in October. To avoid any further collection activity, please pay this balance of this account in full or contact us to make acceptable payment arrangements. Universal Fidelity LP offers convenient payment options to help you satisfy this debt. You may pay online via our website, pay by phone, or pay by mail. If you desire further information, please visit our website or call us. Sincerely, C. Hearn, Director of Payment Control. Now, here's the worst part about this, right? I would think this is complete garbage, except there is one little problem. There is a listing of the individual things that I allegedly returned late. So it tells all the titles that I had out. Which is really too bad, because I think going through your movie rental history has got to be an emotional roller coaster for everyone, right? Not just me. Because when I look at this, okay, I've got first on there, The Big Hit. You know, an underrated, what's that guy who does Face Off and all that shit? John Woo. Underrated John Woo hit starring Marky Mark and Lou Diamond LaBamba and some other people. There was a black guy in there who basically the whole movie was he was talking about how he was celibate, except he would beat off. There was another guy I don't really remember. Very generic. It was Antonio Sabato Jr., though. Christina Applegate was a wife, and Elliot Gould was her father. It was a very strange film, I'll say that. Ironically, in that film, there's like a subplot of a late video return. You know, and the guy's name is Melvin Smiley. So that's on there. Then there's Run, Fat Boy, Run, the movie where Simon Pegg disappointed us all. I don't know about this guy. I saw, as all have, I pretty well enjoyed Shaun of the Dead. Although I feel like the last 10 minutes it falls apart because it just turns into a horror movie and then it has a horror movie-ish ending. And then a real stupid coda at the end, too, that, you know, where they play Xbox and he's a zombie. Didn't like that. The last 15 minutes kind of blow it, but the rest is good enough that it doesn't really matter. And then Run, Fat Boy, Run is about, like, him being not in shape, but he decides to run a marathon for the same reason all of us decide to do anything, which is a girl. You know, and seems like a decent plot. Boring. Nothing really happens. You know, and then you're supposed to be, I guess, real excited about him, but you just don't care. And finally, in October, the motion picture Blind Date. This was one that the lady I was dating at the time was like, you have to see this movie. It's weird. I think it's Bruce Willis and some lady, and they go on this blind date, but it's like a 80s romp. You know, there's all kinds of, the cops get involved. There's like a criminal involved. All kinds of weird shit starts happening. It was a very strange movie, and I, you know, and there's like a murderer or something on the loose. There's all kinds of shit going on. There's like 100 things happening. It's like they had a pitch meeting, and they're like, let's do a comedy, a romp. And they took all the ideas, and they're like, I have an idea. Let's make these ideas one movie. All these ideas will make one movie. So that's on there. So, I mean, nothing crazy embarrassing. I guess The Big Hit's probably the worst. But, you know, it's just weird that they tell you these are the movies you checked out, because otherwise I'd be like, go fuck yourself. You don't know nothing. But then they're like, oh, we know you had these movies. So I don't know. Oh. I do see, on behalf for Colorado residents, on behalf of our firm and our client, we are providing the following notice. A consumer has the right to request in writing that a debt collector or collection agency cease further communication with the consumer. A written request to cease communication will not prohibit the debt collector or collection agency from taking any other action authorized by law to collect the debt. For information about the Colorado Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, see this website. You may also make payments in person to our in-state office indicated below. Oh, so if I go to Centennial, Colorado, I could pay this in person. Well, here's my thought, guys. Go fuck yourself. I'm not paying that, you know. The hard part about this is I could picture myself, I don't think this is going to happen. I think that probably someone bought this company and was like, I bet we could make money if we sent out these notices and was just like, holy shit, you owe us money, we're going to fuck your credit, send us something now. However, I don't think they're actually going to fuck people's credit because it can't be worth the work. There's so many. And also, it's like $27, so I just don't think it's a big deal. So the only flaw I see in this plan is, you know, I'm old man Pete going to buy a house in a few years, a few decades. And, you know, I get up to the thing and they're like doing, oh, your credit? How's your credit? And I'm like, I mean, it should be fine. I've never had any things. And they go to check it, and he's like, what is this? I see you have a, you know, your credit is ruined, and you can't buy a house because you wanted to watch The Big Hit, you know, a 90s John Woo film. I wouldn't know what to say to that. I'd be like, that is accurate. I wish it wasn't true. God, do I wish it wasn't true. But it's true. I did do that. I did have a problem with the motion picture, The Big Hit, that resulted in me not being able to buy a home. But maybe I could just, you know, send a letter to Marky Mark and he would help me out somehow. I don't know. Or John Woo, be like, listen, I love this movie so much, it prevented me from buying a house. And not include too much other detail to the point where they can, you know, look at the detail and say, oh, that's entirely your fault. You know, be a little vague.
Less history, more mystery, huh?
At least that's what I'm thinking I'll need to do there. So that's the story of that. Yeah. Go fuck yourselves. That's not happening. I'm announcing it now. Come get me. I have this book here. It's a believer book of advice that has a lot of questions. Allison answered one about juggling. I thought maybe I could answer some of these questions, you know, because it's a tradition here to help people. We like to help with questions and difficulties and whatnot. So I wanted to do some of that during this thing. I thought maybe we should do. I'm having trouble deciding what to do here because I feel like they're going to show up any minute. I mean, now that they're 40 minutes late, it's like, are they going to show up any second now? Or are they going to not show up for like another hour? You know what I mean? It's not going to be like another, I don't know. It seems like it's either going to be now or forever from now. And I'll have spent, you know, 100 years just bullshitting about nothing here. You know what I mean? Which I don't want to do to you guys. I'd like to have like a actual listenable show. I mean, the plan was to have this super long show. But also, my ultimate goal was to have it be like a real show. You know, because anyone could just sit here and talk for 10 hours, I think. I mean, you could just read the Bible or something. I don't know. Anyone could do that. But I wanted to have this be somewhat of a show, or an actual show, that people would say like, oh, I listened to this. I did this on purpose. So, you know, I'm struggling at the moment. I put out a thing on Facebook/Twitter to see if anyone wanted anything. But I got a Travis shout out. Love the show. Keep it going. And Nicanor said this should be fun, which it will. He's going to be here in a mere 7 hours. So that'll be nice. Well, you know what? I'll be fair. 6 hours and 20 minutes. Not too far away from now. Oh, you know what I didn't do? I had these songs. I played one on the last show. It's a multiplication song, but the beauty is there's a song for 0 and 1, then 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So I thought like I could play a song as a theme, you know what I mean, for each hour that we made it, as a little like marker of celebratoriness. I heard this thing Bruce Springsteen said, you know, his advice to some starter-upper was like, make sure and celebrate the moments. You know, he's like, I don't remember an album going platinum, but I would go out with my wife and have a sundae to celebrate something, just to do something like that to mark things. Because then you'll remember it, and you won't remember the day it went platinum, but if you go out and have that sundae, you'll be like, I do remember that. So that was a thing. It makes it real. So I thought that this would be the way to do that. So we're going to have to catch up a little bit. So right now, without further ado, we're going to play the hour number one song, Multiply with Power. I love this song. The other songs, I'm not going to lie, aren't as good. When we get a little ways in, there's a Led Zeppelin knockoff that's pretty great. But none of them are like this. I mean, nothing is like this. I mean, okay, normal, but here we go. I mean, this is almost a song. So far, not being educational, how far is this from like a Journey B-side? You know what I mean? Or a Steve Perry solo album or something? It's really not that far off. I could see this happening. I mean, up till like this point, really? Zero times any number, always equals zero. This is my favorite, that same number. I mean, he goes for it. Horn solo. Guitar comes back in. Now, here's what's funny about this, I think. So that's Multiply with Power. Let's go to the song 4-2. So this would have been for hour two. I mean, still not bad, actually. I mean, it's bad. I take that back. Working really hard. This is a little Springsteen-y. So then we just get into the math, you know. You know, and that gets just boring. I can't imagine, I mean, is there a kid who's sitting in class going like, let's see, I've been working real hard, trying to learn these numbers, you know, while he's supposed to be doing his test or something? Let's check out 3. Ooh, okay. Wow. I like that. I mean, again, yeah, that's kind of lazy. I mean, it's just kind of like... This song, too, is just called Multiples of 3. I mean, like, before, we've got Multiply with Power, Multiply 2, but that's T-O-O, so that's still good. 4 is Hang Around, you know, 4 times. Numbers Beat, Prime Time, Doing All Right, Sing Along, Quick Reaction, 0 at the End, Revan 11, and Dozen Songs. So, I mean, at least have something. This one's just Multiples of 3. Very lazy. My coworker, I think, smartly had this question for me, which I had, you know, to figure out. Is this an album created by one of two people? Probably. A, is this like a burned out rocker, right? Who's, you know, this is his rock bottom. This is when he's in group therapy trying to get off methadone. He's going to be talking about this, saying, I knew I was at my bottom because I was singing these songs about multiplication and math to teach kids math. I hated it. I wished I was dead. And, you know, they get him in the studio and he's like, no way, man, I had dreams. And then they're like, listen, we'll pay you $10,000. It takes one day. We've got a drum machine all set. All you got to do is sing these words. And he's like, all right, fine. That's theory A. Now, multiples of 3, where it's just 3 times, da-da-da-da, makes me think that's pretty possible. Seems likely. However, Multiply with Power, that's a song that's sung with passion. I mean, that same number that is not the work of someone phoning it in. You know what I mean? He went for it. He actually was like, I'm going to just go for it, man. So that lends credence to theory potential B. Theory potential B is that this is like some real lame teachery type guy. You know what I mean? All right, let's go to song 4. This is the fourth hour. Yeah, a little jazzy. This sounds like kids' music to me, this kind of song. And these songs, too, are all like 3 minutes long. You know? Except for Multiply with Power, which is, again, a 214. A tight 214. So maybe these are like a lame teacher guy who's like, I brought my guitar to school and the kids loved it, in his opinion. So I want to keep that rolling and, you know, continue to bring my guitar to the world as a classroom. If you think about the classroom as the world is our classroom, then I can bring it to the world. So it's got to be, I think, one of those two. I mean, there's also the possibility that it's just like a bored session musician, but I don't like that idea. I like it being one of the extremes. A guy who thinks this is awesome, or a guy who's like, I want to kill myself. Like, you know, at some point he's going to hit it big and have a comeback, and then in the movie of his life, somebody brings this out and is like, I'm going to blow the lid off if you fucking, you know, don't do whatever I want you to. Give me ransom. You know the problem with ransom in a lot of movies? Sometimes they have a ransom, and I think, you know, I would just rather people know. I mean, it'll be like, I'm going to tell everyone that you had sex with this person unless you pay me. And I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't really want people to know, but fuck it. I mean, yeah, if it's for $10,000, and again, I'm not going to admit to it, so whatever. Your word against mine, I don't know. Enjoy. Good luck. You know, I'll have $10,000 still. I don't know. Maybe if you have $10,000 just to lose, you should watch the sex a little bit more. You probably have to. The richer you get, watch out with the sex. Be more careful. I mean, like, one of the good things about living my lifestyle, the odds of, like, a girl, let's say, trying to impregnate by me, you know, like, saying, like, I'm on the pill and not being on the pill, I mean, it's pretty low, because what advantage would that be? You know what I mean? Ah, she's got me trapped now. My riches. Oh my god, I'm going to have to give up my vast riches. I think I'll be fine. You know? I don't think this is going to be a problem for me. So, I mean, that's a good thing. That's a good side of not being as rich as I could be had I made, you know, a hit multiplication-related album at one point in my life. So I'm happy about that. I don't know. You know what another thing that I don't... I was reading this book, right? And it's like an action thing. And it's like these people take over this this place. It's like Disneyland. You know how they do in books? Where they're like, call it Wisneyland or something. And they have like Ricky Rouse or whatever. Because they don't want to use the Disney stuff. Which I think is so stupid. I'm like, just let people use it. Who cares? We all know it's more distracting that it's like a knockoff of Disneyland, you know? It makes it more noticeable. It makes me think of Disneyland more because I'm comparing everything. You know, when they say, oh, this guy is like an evil sorcerer, and I'm like, oh, like Jafar. I get this. I see where you're going. So it just makes me think of where if I just heard Jafar, the images flash and I just move on. So this terrorist group takes over this Disneyland, and they keep some hostages inside. But of course, there's like a guy on the inside, you know what I mean, who was like former special forces or something, and he's got a gun, and he's like going to take down these terrorists, you know, diehard-ish. And every time, I mean, there's a lot of diehard-esque scenarios in books and movies and whatever, plays. Are there any plays that are like Die Hard? Probably not. This is probably why I don't like plays. I'm going to have to remember to ask my brother this later, because I think he's involved with a play right now. And someone should make a Die Hard type play. Anyway, they always have this argument, though, in these kind of things. There's the guy who's like the sensible cop, the Reginald Val Johnson type character. What was his name? guy who hated Urkel, Carl Winslow type, who's outside and he's like on the side of the dude inside, you know, and he's the one you're supposed to be like, this guy's got his head screwed on straight, you know what I mean? He would be captain by now, but he doesn't play the game, I bet. So he's always outside. And then there's another guy outside who's got real nice hair and he's in a suit, but he's a shithead. He shows up and clearly doesn't know anything and hinders the process at every step. You know, even the rational stuff where they're like, we're going to put bulletproof vests on the guys. And he's like, my guys don't need vests. And you're like, okay. And they always have this argument where they go back and forth because the one guy is like, you have a loose cannon in there. He's going to get these hostages killed. And the other guy is like, he's the only thing these hostages have. It's him or nothing. You know what I mean? We can't just cut him off. We can't just pretend he's not in there. Because then they're going to die. You're taking their lives in your hand, sir. And they always have that argument. And the weird part about it to me is I'm not exactly sure who's right. You know, it seems, I gotta say, based on the media, you know, the problem is, let's say I was the guy making the argument pro guy in the building. My main thing would be to say, well, here's the thing, buddy. I've seen all the diehards multiple times. Well, most of them multiple. I've seen two, like, once probably, and the new one, because, yeah, whatever. I'm very familiar with the diehard canon, okay? I've also read other fiction based on this, and, you know, comic books do this a lot. There's a lot of Batman scenarios that are like, Batman's the cause of all the problems, and someone's like, he's the only thing standing between us and the problem. So, you know, uptight chief guy, I've seen how these all work out, and here's the thing. They're always in there, and they have these hostages, but it's not because they want to kill hostages. In fact, it's almost never for the reason that they claim. You know, they'll say, oh, we're doing this because we want to free terrorist prisoners or something, or, you know. They always have a fake reason that's sort of like, remember The Rock and Ed Harris is in there? And it was great because similar situation where they had to have that argument again. And in The Rock, he's like, well, we want care for these veterans who were hurt and aren't getting care, and you're like, oh, this is a pretty, despite how insane and stupid this movie is, that's actually a really great idea, because you're like, I can somewhat sympathize with what he's saying. He's not wrong. They do deserve that stuff, you know, and they're not getting it, and he's looking out for people. He's being a good guy. So the thing is, though, in most of the other ones, they're asking for something, but what they really want is, like, a diamond, a ruby, you know what I mean? Some kind of jewel, which I hate when their heist is, like, diamond-related. Nothing pisses me off more than, like, you're watching a movie and someone goes through a laser grid and then backflips through it, by the way. They're never like, oh, I could just get, like, a mechanics creeper and go on the floor. I mean, really, this laser grid is not designed to be acrobatically passed through so much as not noticed, you know? I like that, too. I'd like to see a laser grid at some time in my life. I would think they mostly have a laser, right? Or, I mean, alternative, how about just have, like, a guy standing there? I mean, if it's important enough that you're like, we are going to set up a whole laser grid in this museum that you wouldn't even know was here, you know, because we've got this fat museum cache that all these museums have. I've seen that donation box with all the museum maps stuffed in there. I know you're making it hand over fist. Hand over mummy fist. So they take all that and they're like going to spend it on this laser grid that you can't even see. It's, you know, not only is there an expense behind a laser grid, but like to hide the equipment so you would never even know it was there unless you spray. What is that they're spraying too? Duster? What is that? It can't be. I mean, is it spray paint? In which case, I don't, you know, it's like you're vandalizing the shit out of the museum. That seems like insult to injury. You know, smoke a cigarette. They do that sometimes. They used to do that because it used to be cool to smoke in movies. Now it's not. No one smokes, but it's like, yeah, you do. Come on. You should. You might as well. I guarantee you, if Bruce Wayne was a real guy, he'd be smoking. Because what better cover for Batman? They'd be like, he's an idiot, he's smoking, he's not even in shape. And, you know, Clark Kent, he should smoke, big time. And then act like he's out of breath, and then everyone's running, and he gets behind, and then changes into Superman. It's the ultimate cover. It really makes a lot of sense, and it's not going to hurt him, right? I mean, he's Kryptonian, he'd have to smoke some kind of kryptonite cigarette. You know, top kryptonite strikes or something like that. Which, who's going to make that? No one's going to make that. He can just be smoking like a madman. It's like Wolverine gets to smoke, you know, because he can heal factor, which I love that. They're like, well, it's okay because it's not going to give him cancer. It's like, all right. Well, he's still smoking. So how is that? It's like you can ration. Their thing is they're like, we don't want kids to idolize smokers. And they're like, well, we can do it with Wolverine because, you know, he's not going to get sick from it. And you can simply explain to a kid who is so dumb that when he sees Cyclops smoking, he's like, I'm going to do that too, to be like Cyclops. And your plan is to explain to him how this is a false world of comic books, and therefore it's okay for Wolverine to smoke. Now, why couldn't you just explain don't smoke instead of Wolverine just smokes? Well, I wonder if our guests thought they were an hour after they were, because I think they're pulling up right now. So I'm going to try and go get them. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, Jason Isbell in the 400 unit.
This next song was originally recorded at Fame Studios in Muscle Shoals back in 1970. Yeah, right down the road. By a singer named Candy Staten. So we're going to do our best on it. I was out there all alone. I was searching for a friend. You saw my need and you came along. With your charm you took me in. In one night you captured my heart. Turned the smoke into a flame. From you, baby, cause you keep it hanging on your string. Well, I can't free your heart from you, baby, if you keep it hanging on your string. That way of loving was my weakness. Made me yours, body and soul. My mind told me that I should leave it, but my heart can't let me go. You tied me down to you and you went away. Turned my pleasure into pain. Now I can't free my heart from you, baby, if you keep it hanging on your string. Cause you keep it hanging on your string. Every time I try to break loose, when you tighten up on your string, I can't hold up to what I'm going through. My heart is weakening from the strain. Yet I know if you untied me, baby, I'd be bailing you just the same. Baby, if you keep it hanging on your string, well, I can't free my heart from you, baby,
to keep it hanging on your skin. Don't let free my heart from you, baby, 'cause you keep it hanging on your skin.
Well, that looks like a false alarm. Still not here, huh? So, hopefully they show up in the next hour. Otherwise, well, you know what? An hour from now, I've got another guest, so... Either way, it'll be me and you for another hour, or me and some other people for an hour. And then that'll be... That's our lives, you know? I'm drinking a little King. Have you guys seen these? This is a original cream ale. Booze. Beer. They're not great, but they're tiny. They're like 7-ounce beers. It's like a baby beer. Which is great, because then I feel like a giant man. I'm not a large man, so I don't have a lot of opportunities to feel like a giant man. But Lil' Kings is one of them. One of the few. The proud. The Kings. So cheers. King me. Huh? Well, that's a good commercial. Somebody call them. Somebody call the Schoenling Brewery. LittleKingsBeer.com. Go there. Say, I got a great idea for a commercial, dot, dot, dot. Hit the enter key and start a new line. Another new line. Quotations, King me. End quotes. Then just your email signature, you know, your contact info on there. You may have noticed, here's the thing. You probably have noticed that I've been talking about Batman a lot. For some reason, lately, Batman's been a lot on my mind. You know, and I've been very much annoying Allison because I think I talk about Batman too much. Every analogy is a Batman analogy, you know what I mean? Oh, that's sort of like how Batman, or, you know, I like to play video games, but I kind of try to curtail my in-depth talk of video games. Try to confine that to the internet, where people can just ignore it if they choose, or, you know, read it if they choose. But, you know, I've been playing Batman Arkham City, and I keep talking about him like, oh, Batman can do this great thing. He, like, knocks this guy down and then breaks his arm. It's insane, you know, and that's not exciting as a story, I've learned, which I should know that, because telling stories about a video game Batman event, I mean, that's like when you're a little kid and you just start going like, Timmy at school did this, and your dad has to be like, shut the fuck up. Who's Timmy? What are you talking about? Who are these people, you know? I don't know you that well in a personal way. But I watched the newest Batman movie, Dark Knight Rises. I know everyone's been waiting to hear my opinion on Dark Knight Rises. I thought it was all right. I don't know. I mean, people made a big deal out of it because of the last one. They're all like, you can't understand Bane. Bane, who's like, Batman. He talked very strangely. Like, it's not even because he was wearing that ball gag. It was like the way he talked was like, good. You know, I don't know what that voice is.
Yes.
Just a little bit of who's that creepy guy? I'll think of his name. But just,
yes.
Kind of thing. Just a dusting of that. You know, that I noticed right away, there's like a guy, you know, who's got Bane tied up and he's like, would it hurt if I take that mask off? And Bane's like,
for you,
you know, like, okay. But other than that, it was fine. I mean, you know, people said they couldn't understand him, but I was like, he doesn't really say anything important. You know, he's like,
Gotham is bad, you know.
Who cares? You know who shined as a star in that one? Alfred, man. Alfred's the best. I gotta say, these new Batman movies, everyone's like, Heath Ledger was amazing. But the Alfred was a huge improvement. He was great. The other Alfred was a little too old, and he always wore these white gloves. But, you know, Michael Caine, I mean, I was, okay, granted, I'm in a total fever state. But, you know, there's this scene, I don't even remember if it was the second or the third movie, you know, where he's saying something, because I watched all three, but he's saying something like, I made a promise to your family that I'd look after you, and I have not made good on that promise, you know? And he's getting real upset at Bruce Wayne. And it was really great, because I think, you know, these movies always have a character. Like, Rocky has Adrian. Adrian's always like the party pooper, in a way, because she's like, Rock, don't fight him. You know, and the first couple times, it's all right. Like, Rocky 2, you know, and she's like, we love you, not your stuff and your fighting. And he's, you know. But after a while, you're like, oh, just let him fucking fight the guy already. This is who he is. Can you? I can accept it, can't you? But, so, you know, and a lot of movies have this character. Often it's a female character, a wife or a mom, unfortunately, who's like, I don't think this is a good idea. You know what I like to call these characters, starting just now? Snarfs. Do you remember Snarf from Thundercats? And he would just always, here's what he said. They must have hired the guy to be Snarf for one day. He said, Snarf, Snarf. And then he said, I don't know if that's a good idea, Lion-O. And that's his function. So there's a snarf in a lot of these movies that basically tells the main character, I don't know if that's a good idea. I don't think you should do that, you know. I'm going to go ahead and squash your dream, and then we can discuss it. What I liked about Alfred is he did not want the guy, Bruce Wayne, to be Batman. However, he didn't do it in a bitchy way where he's like, I don't want you to be Batman. You know, you're going to get yourself killed. He was more like, you could understand what he was saying. He's like, I've raised you as my son, and I can't stand to watch this, you know, and I wanted better for you. That's all I wanted. You know, so he's saying that, and I got tears in my eyes, all that. So, I don't know, it was fine. It was a good conclusion to the old, whatever. I always like these movies, though, that are about a guy who's a little older who probably has no business doing what he's doing. The, you know, last year's model taking on the new model. Terminator 2, for example, is great because he's at a total disadvantage. Or did anyone else see the Kurt Russell movie Soldier? I probably shouldn't vouch for that movie because it's probably horrible. I have not seen this since it came out. I watched it like 5 times at the time, you know, in 1998 or something. But it's about this, you know, these kids get programmed from youth to be soldiers. And they're just like heartless bastards killing machines. And then it shows a montage of him, you know, in every huge war for like 2 decades. And now he's like in his 40s and they come along with this new generation of soldiers. So they basically kill the old ones and just dump them as garbage on this planet, you know. But he survives and he's still alive. And so then the new soldiers come there to kill people and he decides to kill them. So I didn't really like the part where it's like, oh, he has a heart. He wants to protect the people. I mean, you could have easily have just said, well, he's a soldier. He's pissed off because they tried to kill him, so he's going to kill them. That's all he knows. This is his only thing he's good for. But what I liked about it is you're like, yeah, this is like the old underdog versus the new guy. You know what I mean? Wisdom versus strength. Something like that. So it's good times. That's the new Batman. I didn't realize there's like an 8-year gap between Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises, you know, where he hasn't been doing a lot and he's all fucked up. I love that. I don't know why no one told me that. That seems like a big part of the story to me. But whatever, I guess, you know, people are crazy. They're just like, oh, Catwoman's in it. And I'm like, okay. Fuck Catwoman, by the way. I'm so sick of Catwoman. It's like, all right, you steal shit. Good for you. You're dressed in a Catwoman suit. I'd like to see a Catwoman who's not attractive. I think that would be enjoy. It would be way more captivating to me. You know, like if you, let's say you get a Chris Farley guy, right? And he's like, you know, shockingly graceful for his size, but also has some strength to him. I'd like to see a Catwoman more on that page. You know, that would be a sturdy lady who's Catwoman. I think that would be fun. I don't know. But I'm wrong. I mean, of course I'm wrong. I was talking about the older Batman movies. So, you know, we've got Batman. That's the first film, you know, from the 80s. With Jack Nicholson's Joker. Tim Burton, when he was, like, doing shit. Not when he was just, like, turned it over to a cartoon studio from Nickelodeon to do all his movies. It was great. It's actually still pretty good. You know, it's a little 80s out. I mean, the Joker being in a parade with Prince song going is a little crazy, but whatever. Batman Returns is actually, in a way, one of my favorites. I liked it as a kid, so there's that whole thing. It's very bizarre. I mean, Danny DeVito is the Penguin, but he's like an actual Penguin man. Pee-wee Herman plays his father for 3 seconds in the beginning. You got a Christopher Walken role that he just eats alive. Michael Keaton returns as Batman. You got Catwoman, which I have mixed feelings about again, but whatever. Then things start to go off the rails. Then you have Batman Forever. Now, this is when Val Kilmer came on, who I thought was just fine as Batman / Bruce Wayne, although his lips are the same color as his face. You don't really notice these things so much until they're wearing a thing that really their lips and lower half of their face is all that's there. And you're like, his lips, I think, are made out of skin material, just shaped into lip shape. I don't think he has actual lips. So that was bad. And, you know, I remember seeing this movie in the theater because it starts with this pretty good scene. There's like a bank vault that someone's like just taking the entire bank vault out of the bank via helicopter, you know, and that's their way of robbing the bank. And I was like, all right, that's crazy, but fine. There's acid involved somehow. And, you know, Batman defuses that. And then, you know, things start to get a little crazy because then you've got Jim Carrey as the Riddler. Tommy Lee Jones is Two-Face, you know. There's a classic, you know, Batman's about to hit someone with his car. It's like an old lady with a cart, and it turns out to be Two-Face with a machine gun, you know. Who would have thought? But this is when things started to go off the rails. I mean, the end of the movie happens in what seems to be a vertical cylindrical disco of some sort. You know, and it's like the Riddler, and he's in this huge cylinder, and it's got all these cutouts with lights coming through them, and all the cutouts are question mark shaped. I mean, the amount of work that went into these hideouts, or Two-Face had a hideout that was split in half. You know, there's the shitty side and the good side. Brief cameo, Drew Barrymore is like an angelic hot lady who's like his babe. I mean, this was super short, which is weird because she was a known person at that point. So, you know, his hideout is like the shitty half and the good half. It's like a building and half of it's burned or something. I mean, the amount of work that they put into these hideouts is asinine. I don't understand who they got to build these hideouts why don't they just rent an apartment? I mean, my landlord would never know if I was the Riddler. I would think the Riddler would be pretty good at hiding being the Riddler. You know, if he was like, oh, my biggest riddle is who am I? Fuck it. Not to mention that maybe you're the Riddler. You don't need to be anything but the Riddler. You don't need to be a guy. You're just the Riddler. And I don't know why he's wearing that domino mask all the time. They know who he is now. Everyone knows he's Edward Nigma, so why does he need to wear a little thing over? I don't, you know, and the domino mask where it's like basically someone overdid it with the eyeshadow is like, oh, God, who is that? I mean, by that logic, if someone got, like, a real 80s-style makeover with a lot of makeup and big hair, I'd be like, I don't even know who that is. You know, Batgirl could just do that instead of wearing a mask. She could just get it made over big time. I'd have no fucking idea who she was. So that movie was okay. I mean, you could feel the slide. You were feeling like things have taken a turn. And I'm not sure how I feel about the turn, but it's not the way it once was. Which brings us to Batman and Robin. Now I have a whole thing with Batman and Robin. When I was a young lad, a teen, I became a member of the Columbia House Movie Club so I could order VHS movies of films like Soldier and Blade, you know, and watch them over and over. And this was like a big deal back then because there was no such thing as Amazon or anything. And you would go to the video store at the mall or something, and a VHS was like $20 or $30, depending on the movie. And also, you know, they had a pretty limited selection. And I don't even mean like, oh, I was really into, I wanted to see Eraserhead, and they didn't have, I mean like, they had like 10 movies or something. You know, it was always the same 10 VHS cassettes there. So, I joined this club, and you got like 11 movies for a penny, and then you had to buy 3 movies over the course of the next year at full price. And the full price was expensive, too. It was like $20 or $30. But my friend's mom did the math and said, you still came out way on top. So I said, all right, I'm doing it. So at one point, I ordered 007 GoldenEye. You know, and I'm patiently waiting. Now, here's what they do. Every month, they send you a postcard. And it's like, this month, our featured movie is, you know, some piece of shit. I mean, it would be like, this month, our featured movie is Titanic, you know. And what you would have to do, you could check a box on the postcard and put it back in the mail. And that would be like, no thanks, don't send me Titanic. But if you did not do that, they just send you Titanic. Now, it shows up in a cardboard box, you know, exactly the size of a VHS. And you can actually still just write return to sender on it and send it back. It doesn't cost you anything. So, you know, being irresponsible and 15 or whatever, I mean, I don't think I ever sent in the postcard. And then the thing would show up and I'd be like, oh, fuck, and then return it, you know. Now, I ordered 007. And, you know, they took a long time. They would take like a month to 6 weeks, as I recall, to get there. It was probably 4 days, but as, you know, being that age, I'm like, I want to watch GoldenEye today because I thought the video game was so great. And then basically spend every day being like, are you sure the mail doesn't come twice a day, Mom? Because that would be great. So finally, you know, the box comes. I'm like, fucking A. Run inside, start turning on the TV to warm it up while I'm opening the box. Much to my chagrin, I discover it was not GoldenEye, but the monthly movie, which at this point was Batman and Robin. Now, Batman and Robin was the first Batman movie that I made no effort to see. I think I saw maybe Returns in the theater, definitely Batman Forever. I'd seen both on video many times. You know, Batman Returns, I had like a calendar for it, you know. It was like, this is going to be great. And there was this great shot of Batman, and he had this like grappling gun or something. And I think it was November. I left it on that the entire year because I was like, this is the best page. I don't give a shit about the Penguin or, you know, Catwoman, even at that time. Or, you know, a picture of Bruce Wayne with the bat signal in his window in the background. So I left it on that for, you know, this was a beloved film. And then Batman and Robin came along. My brother went to see it, and I was like, oh my God, how was it? You know, and the way he described it was like so confusing. If it were today, if Batman and Robin came out today, you know, if I was 29 when that came out, I think I would go see it. Because if someone told me that, I'd be like, this is either untrue or I'm going to love it. Either way, it's a total win for me. So, he told me about it, though, and being of, you know, a sane age with no irony. I mean, I wasn't an irony guy then. I didn't watch Soldier with Kurt Russell for irony. I loved it. So I decided not to go because he's like, there's an ice skating scene. Arnold Schwarzenegger is an idiot as Mr. Freeze. It's terrible. Everything about it is bad. You know, and it made me upset too because I'm a Batman fan. And I would watch these movies and always be disappointed. Like Batman Forever, I'm like, oh God, why does this bat suit have nipples on it? Could have done without that. Robin was kind of lame, disappointing. So I open it, and now, you know, once you open it, it's over. There's no sending back the video once it's opened. That's like their one... They give you a lot of chances to not open it. And they must make a lot of money off of just people just opening it. Or people's kids just opening it or something. My brother was a member of the CD club, and I remember, you know, there were some CDs sitting there he was going to send back. And I just opened them. I think I was like, fuck it, man. I want to see what's in here. I'm a exploratory kind of boy. So... You know, and then he got fucked on those. So, it was open. I couldn't send it back. And I just remember my heart sinking, you know, because I was thinking, well, fuck. There goes one of my three movies that I have to buy for an outrageous... Not only do I now own Batman and Robin, I own it by accident, and I'm going to pay twice as much for it as anybody can rationally say they should have paid. Maybe three times as much. I mean, for that movie, it's 100 times. So I decide I'm popping it in. What the fuck, you know? I own it. I might as well. I gotta watch it once. I think I watched the first 10 minutes, you know, and there's like, it's an action sequence. Clooney's Batman. Chris O'Donnell is back as Robin. He is Robin, you know. And Arnold Schwarzenegger is Mr. Freeze. One of the worst casting decisions the world has been subjected to ever. So the first sequence is an action thing. Mr. Freeze is stealing something. Batman and Robin try and stop him. They end up in a space capsule somehow, locked in there. Mr. Freeze is on the ground saying, enjoy the heart of space, you know. And they blow the doors off and like surf the doors through the skies back to the ground. I watched this first 10 minutes and then shut it off. And, you know, was like, I don't know if I can watch this, you know. But I was like, it was shitty, it was bad, I hated it. But maybe, you know, after a few days, you forget the pain, and you're like, oh, okay, there was some... I mean, it's still a Batman movie, right? It's still Batman. This is good. When a Batman movie comes out, Batman merchandise comes out, that's always exciting for me. I love Batman stuff. So... After a few days, I give it another try. Enter Bane and Poison Ivy, which is hilarious. They're like traveling undercover. There's this still shot I found online that I think I'm going to make my profile picture on every social network from now on, which is, you know, Bane's driving her around, and he's dressed, he's wearing like a fedora and a trench coat, but it looks bizarre. He's like this real ripped steroid guy. He's like a wrestler or something. I remember this story. And he died like a couple months after this because he was so roided out. He didn't even look like muscle. He was like a huge dough man, you know. So roided out, he died just shortly after the end of the filming. And he's in this car driving her around. And he's wearing Bane's sort of luchador mask, on top of which he's wearing a fedora and, like, a trench coat, you know? So he looks like a, you know, 20s gangster kind of guy, but also he's, like, this huge ripped muscle guy with a full-face mask on and, like, tubes coming out. It's, like, a weird disguise. It's, like, the classic disguise that, you know, he looks more standout-ish than if three little kids were wearing that same outfit standing on each other's shoulders. And then there's just like a baby's head on the top that's supposed to talk or something. I love that trick. The three person equals one man trick. It makes no fucking sense. I think probably people get carded based more on a baby face than a small body. If you're sitting in a booth, no one knows the difference. But when you're like, you know, your adult teeth are coming in, I think they're going to ask you for your ID. You still have blonde hair when it's clear you're going to grow up and it's just going to turn to a lousy brown that no one cares about. So after a few sittings, I did finish Batman and Robin. I may have watched it one more time. I can't remember. But that's kind of the Batman thing. This is why I have a problem with Batman. Or, you know, it's been on my mind. So I think when Batman and Robin 2, I mean, that was like a franchise killer, you know? They had a good thing going the first two. The third one was not great, but it was nowhere near destroying things. And then the fourth one was just people were like, well, I'm not touching Batman ever again. So I'm really glad someone came back with Batman and made it a thing. You know, that's fun. It's pretty good. I think we figured out superhero movies a little bit. You know, I think that the part of the problem was you couldn't really do Spider-Man in the 80s because the effects didn't work. They didn't look real. Nothing looked real. I mean, now you can at least sort of make things look real. You know, I still wonder how they do, like, The Flash, if they ever do that. Because whenever I see someone running in fast motion, it looks crazy. You know, in the new Hulk movie, they had that guy from Reservoir Dogs, who's for some reason in the Hulk movie, and he's, like, running super speed past other guys. It's the most hilarious 3 seconds of that movie. You know, and it's like, and he's running super fast. I don't know how they do that effect, like, put down a moving walkway right where he is and everyone else is doing regular speed. But that's kind of what it looks like. So it looks very wrong. He's got some kind of propulsion backpack or something. Well, it doesn't look like they're coming. I should probably send a message or something and see if they're coming, because now they're officially an hour and a half late from the specified original time. So I might just take a second here and see if they're actually coming. So hold on loosely. In the meanwhile, here's our good friend Benjamin Nichols.
Let's give it a shot.
A 100 miles on your saddle lonesome. 100 miles past anything called fair. Ain't no need to question my devotion. For the girl I love, all burns will I bear. Oh, sweet Mary, where'd you go? Kissed your lips just days ago. Now it seems our city wasted time. 100 miles, empty road. Worn out heart, teeth cold. Feel like I could just lay down and die. On your side, on the dark town nights, there's a girl waiting for me by and by. There's a girl I cannot leave behind. On your side, on the dark town nights. 100 miles on the other side, lonesome. 100 miles past any kind of plan. All I know is I can drink an ocean of whiskey if I can't see her again. Oh, sweet Mary, where'd you go? Kissed your lips just days ago. Now it seems I'm sitting wasting time. 100 miles, empty road. Worn out heart, teeth cold. Feel like I could just lay down and die. On your side, lonesome dark town nights. There's a girl waiting for me by and by. There's a girl I cannot leave behind. On your side, lonesome dark town nights. Well, come on now, sit a while. I just covered 100 miles. And I'll sit right here and drink my fill. Yes. It's gone with the wind, more so. Wait again, I fear that rain just what it will. Now, oh, sweet Mary, where'd you go? I kissed your lips just days ago. Now it seems I'm sitting wasting time. 100 miles, empty road. Worn out hearts and teeth cold. Feel like I could just lay down and die. On your side, dark town nights. There's a girl waiting for me by and by. There's a girl I cannot leave behind. On your side, long from dark town nights. Your side, long from dark town nights.
When you say silent length. I'll never ask where you go. When you decided to leave, I left you alone. It don't mean much for me what all you did while you're gone. It don't mean much to me as long as you come home.
Well, still no word, but we'll try and see what happens here. In the meantime, I guess we could talk about something else entirely. I feel like we could probably just move on. I did have something I really wanted to talk about, complain about, really. Facebook-wise, that I find very frustrating lately. So, sorry. Christina commented that she'll definitely be drinking, so bring on the dye of drinking, which is great news, because, you know, I've been getting a slow start, so we'll have to figure this out. I wanted to talk about something that people do on Facebook that really pisses me off for some reason. We're all Facebook users, right? And something that when you get on there that's been driving me real fucking nuts is when you get on there and you see, I don't know what to call them. I was trying to look these up to find, you know, what, to find some examples, you know, of what I'm talking about. And I couldn't think of what to call them, like cheesy morality stories or something. But you'll get on there and it'll be some weird, there was one I just saw today, you know, and it's like, it's one of your friends like this. And it was a cop and he's like, today I was sitting in a restaurant and a little girl came up to me and handed me an envelope and said, thanks for everything you do. And inside the envelope was a gift card and a little note that's like, you guys maintain our society great. And then, you know, and she walked back over to her dad and they just left, nothing else, you know, and, it's great that a dad is teaching her little girl about, you know, the importance of police officers in our society, you know. Or there was one that made the rounds big time. It was like about a cop who gave a bum some shoes, you know, which is fine. I don't know. But I don't really care for these stories because I just think they're sort of stupid. I mean, they're like these stupid, you know what they remind me of? You know that story about there's like some broad and she wants to get her husband something. So she like gets rid of her hair to get it for him. And then he gets rid of his thing to buy her a comb. So then she's bald with a comb and he doesn't have, I don't even remember what she got him. She got him like a toilet, but he got rid of his butt or something like that. I don't know. So it's like, you know, a tale that's supposed to teach you something about life, you know. Oh, how funny our lives are, how strange and beautiful lives are, or something. I don't know. So you read this stuff, and it's just, like, ridiculous, you know? And then the Facebook ones are just the worst, because I don't understand why are you sharing this with me? This is not information that I need in any way. You know what I mean? This is not an important thing for me to know at all. It's just like something that you thought was cute, I guess. I legitimately do not understand and become angry when I see these things, you know. So I brought a couple up just to kind of say what I'm talking about here. Like, here's a quick one. A 24-year-old boy was looking out the train's window and shouted, "Dad, look, the trees are going behind." Dad smiled, and a young couple sitting nearby looked at the 24-year-old's childish behavior with pity. Suddenly he exclaimed, "Dad, look, the clouds are running with us." The couple couldn't resist and said to the old man, "Why don't you take your son to a good doctor?" And the old man smiled and said, "I did, and we were just coming home from the hospital. My son was blind from birth. He just got his eyes today." That's fucking stupid. These are like the stories that, sometimes a comedian will tell a story like that to lead into a joke. They'll be like, so the other day I was visiting my grandpa in the old folks' home. And you're like, oh, fuck you. No, you weren't. You know, or this. It's like, why, you know, I guess we're supposed to learn, like, don't criticize a guy for being 24 and having been blind. And also, what doctor were they going to? And what fucking idiot is like, this kid is talking about the clouds and stuff on the train. And I'm like, I better criticize his father's parenting. That seems like a reasonable way to go about this. So, what I'm saying is, I think these stories are 90% of them not true. And even when they are true, it's like, okay, a cop gave his shoes to some asshole who's homeless. I mean, that's a great thing to do. I don't know why everyone's like this on Facebook. Because first of all, who's going to look at that and be like, no, I don't like that. I don't think that's an appropriate thing. Who's going to argue that? But secondly, it's just like, what? I mean, if you're not, here's my problem, I think, with Facebook overall. If you're just putting up something with no real opinion on it, just to share it with the rest of us, you're not fucking Anderson Cooper, okay? You know, there's a shooting in Connecticut. I have 20 people who just post the story, or maybe with a frowny face. You know, something like that. And it just, like, boggles my mind, because I don't understand the point of that. You know what I mean? I'm hearing it from everyone else. I probably heard it from the same people that you heard it from. This is how a social network works, my friends. So, I just wish that people would slow down on posting these things. Now, I have another one here. This one's a long one, okay? And I just thought I would read it, and then we could all sort of decide how crazy it is. It's very long. So here we go. I have a brother who is 3 years younger than me. I wanted to buy a handkerchief, which all girls around me seem to have. Okay, first of all. Okay, if you say so. Nothing a girl likes better than a nice monogrammed handkerchief, so she can have one just like her grandfather. So one day I stole 50 cents from my father's drawer. Okay, good. That's good too. Again, we're really on top of the game here. 50-cent handkerchief. Father had discovered about the stolen money right away. He made me and my younger brother kneel against a wall as he held a bamboo, which this is already getting pretty good. This part I like. A bamboo stick in his hand. Who stole the money? He asked. I was stunned, too afraid to talk. Neither of us admitted to the fault, so he said, fine, if no one wants to admit, you two should be beaten. He lifted up the bamboo stick. Suddenly, my younger brother gripped father's hand and said, Dad, I was the one who did it. The long stick smacked my brother's back repeatedly. Father was so angry that he kept on whipping my brother until he lost his breath. I like that it kind of takes it away from me, I'm not going to lie, when it says, you know, oh, my dad beat him, and then he sort of ran out of steam. I like when a beating ends because someone runs out of steam. You know, not because they feel like the beating is complete, but they're just like, eh. They've learned their lesson, right? So, okay, he ran out of breath. After that, he sat down on our stone bed, okay, and scolded my brother. You have learned to steal from your own house now. What other embarrassing things are you possibly doing in the future? This is another problem. These stories always seem like they're retarded foreign people. Or something like that. You've learned to steal from our home, son, and Hammurabi tells us this is wrong. On their stone bed. I don't know what that is. What other embarrassing things will you possibly be doing in the future? You should be beaten to death, you shameless thief. That night, my mother and I hugged my brother. His body was full of wounds from the beating, but he never shed a single tear. In the middle of the night, all of a sudden, I cried out loudly. My brother covered my mouth with his little hand and said, "Sis, now don't cry anymore. Everything has happened." I still hate myself for not having enough courage to admit what I did. Years went by, but the incident still seemed like it just happened yesterday. I will never forget my brother's expression when he protected me. His expression of getting the shit beat out of him. That year, my brother was 8 years old and I was 11 years old. When my brother was in his last year of secondary school, he was accepted in an upper secondary school in the Central. At the same time, I was accepted into a university in the province. That night, father squatted in the yard, smoking, packet by packet. I could hear him ask my mother, "Both of our children, they have good results? Very good results?" Mother wiped off her tears and sighed, "What is the use? How can we possibly finance both of them?" Mom Bot said, "What is the use? We cannot possibly finance two human adults." At that time, my brother walked out. He stood in front of father and said, "Dad, I don't want to continue my study anymore. I have read enough books." Father swung his hand and slapped my brother on his face. "Why do you have a spirit so damn weak? Even if it means I have to beg for money on the streets, I will send you two to school until you have both finished your studies, or I'll die trying to cane you." He didn't say that part. And then he started to knock on every house in the village to borrow money. I stuck out my hand as gently as I can to my brother's swollen face and told him, "A boy has to continue his study. If not, he will not be able to overcome this poverty we are experiencing." I, on the other hand, had decided not to further my study at the university. Nobody knew that on the next day, before dawn, my brother left the house with a few pieces of worn-out clothes and a few dry beans. Holy Christ. He sneaked to my side of the bed and left a note on my pillow. "Sis, getting into a university is not easy. I will go find a job and I will send money to you." I held the note while sitting on my bed and cried until I lost my voice. That year, my brother was 17 years old. I was 20 years old. With the money father borrowed from the whole village, and the money my brother earned from carrying cement on his back at a construction site, finally, I managed to get the third year of my study in the university. One day, while I was studying in my room, my roommate came in and told me, "There's a villager waiting for you outside." Why would there be a villager looking for me? Mystery. I walked out and I saw my brother, gasp, from afar. His whole body was covered with dirt, dust, cement, and sand. Because why not sand, too? I asked him, "Why did you not tell my roommate that you are my brother?" He replied with a smile, "Look at my appearance. What will they think if they would know that I am your brother? Won't they laugh at you?" I felt so touched and tears filled my eyes. I swept away dirt and dust from my brother's body and told him with a lump in my throat, "I don't care what people would say. You're my brother, no matter what your appearance is." There's a question mark in there. From his pocket, he took out a butterfly hair clip. He put it on my hair and said, "I saw all the girls in town are wearing it, so I think you should also have one." I could not hold back myself anymore. I pulled my brother into my arms and cried. That year, my brother was 20 years old. I was 23 years old. Thanks for keeping us updated with these details. I noticed that the broken window was repaired the first time I brought my boyfriend home. What? The house was scrubbed clean. After my boyfriend left, I danced like a little girl in front of my mother. "Mom, you didn't have to spend so much time clean." I don't know what happened here, but fine. But she told me with a smile, it was your brother who went home early to clean the house. Didn't you see the wound on his hand? He hurt his hand while he was replacing the window. I went into my brother's bedroom. Looking at his thin face, I felt like hundreds of needles pricked my heart. I applied some ointment on his wound and put a bandage on it. "Does it hurt?" I asked him. "Yeah, bitch." "No, it doesn't hurt, you know. When at the construction site, stones keep falling on my feet. Even that could not stop me from working." In the middle of the sentence, he stopped. I turned my back on him and tears rolled down my face. In the middle of the sentence, or that year, my brother was 23 years old. I was 26 years old. So there's a 3-year gap there. After I got married, I lived in the city. Many times my husband invited my parents to come and live with us, but they didn't want. They said once they left the village, they wouldn't know what to do. My brother agreed with them. He said, "Sis, you just take care of your parents-in-law. I will take care of Mom and Dad here." My husband became the director of his factory. We asked my brother to accept the offer being the manager in the maintenance department, but my brother rejected the offer. He insisted on working as a repairman instead, for a start. One day, my brother was on top of the ladder repairing a cable when he got electrocuted and was sent to the hospital. My husband and I visited him at the hospital. Looking at the plaster cast on his leg, I grumbled, "Why did you reject the offer of being a manager? Managers won't do something dangerous like that. Now look at you. You are suffering a serious injury. Why didn't you just listen to us?" With a serious expression on his face, he defended his decision. "Think of brother-in-law. He just became the director, and I, being uneducated, slovenly, piece of shit, worthless, no good, bad self-esteem, extremely bad self-esteem, uneducated, and would become a manager, what kind of rumors would fly around?" My husband's eyes filled up with tears, and then I said, "But you lack an education only because of me. Why do you talk about the past?" he said. And then he held my hand. That year, he was 26-year-old, and I was 29-years-old. My brother was 30-years-old when he married a farm girl from the village. During the wedding reception, the master of ceremony asked him, "Who is the one person you respect and love the most?" Without even taking time to think, he answered, "My sister." He continued by telling a story I could not even remember. When I was in primary school, the school was in a different village. Every day, my sister and I would walk for 2 hours to school and back home. One day, I lost the other pair of my gloves. My sister gave me one of hers. She wore only one glove and said she had to walk far. When we got home, her hands were trembling because of the cold weather, that she could not even hold her chopsticks. From that day, oh, they're Chinese. From that day on, I swore that as long as I live, I would take care of my sister and will always be good. That explains the bamboo. I would always be good to her. Applause filled the room. All guests turned their attention to me. I found it hard to speak. In my whole life, the one I would like to thank most is my brother. And in this happy occasion, in front of the crowd, tears were rolling down my face again. Moral: love and care for the one you love every single day of your life. You may think what you did is just a small deed, but to that someone, it means a lot. If you like this story, hit the like. Okay? Now, that was an asinine story, right? I mean, we all beating him with bamboo. You know, the dad beats the complete shit out of him. And, you know, the brother's just like, "Oh, dump rocks on my head. It's fine." And then what we're supposed to take away from that is, like, be nice to people? I don't get it. This is what all of these sound like to me, is kind of my point here. I don't think everyone sees all of these this way or gets as pissed off as I do about them. But that's just how it is, man. I can't take these anymore. Please stop putting these up. You know, if it's a guy you know, do it. Or if you have something to actually say about that, do it. You know, or like this shooting thing. Here are the reactions I saw to the shooting thing, okay? Number one, let's do gun control. Okay, good answer. I mean, that's really worked out for us so far, especially when we take the stance of posting it on Facebook, you know. Like, if you want this to become a law, that's never going to happen, you guys. So quit fucking around. How about instead of, before you post a cause thing on your Facebook, you should have to spend 10 minutes actually trying to change the cause. Spend 10 minutes talking to your one weird relative who has 100 guns and just maybe be like, maybe we should reduce our guns, you know? That's going to be a lot more effective. Number two reaction was like, it's not the problem of guns. People need mental health stuff, which is probably true, but, you know, I'm going to just categorize the shit out of people. People who are really into gun rights are not real into healthcare rights and universal healthcare. So that's what you're talking about. You know what I mean? And you're like, well, why should we give... Oh, here's another one I saw a lot. There was this story on there, and it was like a doctor, and he's like, I saw this lady come in. She had like a grill, and she had a really nice cell phone, nicer than mine, and she had a designer purse. And then I looked at her insurance, and it said Medicaid. What the fuck? This is messed up, Mr. President, you know, and it's got like thousands of likes. To which I'm like, listen, buddy, I mean, basically what you're saying in my mind is, well, I believe in healthcare, but not for the stupid. I mean, that's what stupid is. So unless you just want to say the stupid, fuck yourself. You know, that's not, you're not helping anyone. You're not adding anything to this conversation that is life. It's not entertaining. And it's just like, oh, I saw this and that. Can you believe it? You know, it's like when your dad comes in from out of town and he's at the airport and he's like, you are not going to believe what I saw at the airport. There was a kid there and he had these shoes that had roller skate wheels in them, and his mom was just letting him roll around, you know? And you're like, yeah, I mean, I know that seems amazing, but you're a dad. You're like an old man. I'm a normal guy. So for me, that's nothing, you know? You're just being an idiot. Finally, third and most egregious was people who respond with a God thing. They say, I'm praying for them, you know, or trust in God, which is really unfair to me because let's say my kid got shot, you know, and I am not a God believer at all. And you're like, I'm praying for you. It's like, is this really the time for you to aggressively put your religious views on top of my tragedy that happened to me? And also, I've probably never believed in God less than I do right now. So I have a problem with this. I would prefer that you just, you know, if you want to do that, do it. But don't put it on, again, prayers? Prayers should not be on Facebook because as much as lawmakers don't read Facebook, I don't think God is going to base things on your Facebook. If he does, we're all real fucked, you know? The longer you've been on there, the less your chance of ever not going to hell. One bikini shot and you're screwed, you know? And we've all got that bikini shot up there. It cannot be denied, cannot be resisted. Okay. Well, we're at the end of the hour here. We're heading into hour 5. So we're going to get a song going when we come back, and also I'm going to have a guest on the phone. The first time we've ever attempted one of those. So I hope that goes all right for everybody. I'm going to put you guys on hold for just a minute while I get things set up. And we are going to see you in just a few.
I'm going out to Denver. See if I can't find. Well, I'm going out to Denver. See if I can't find. All that love, Colorado, girl of mine. Now the promise in her smile, cause she in the mountains tall. Oh, the promise in her smile, cause she in the mountains tall. She can bring the sun shining. She can tell the rain to fall. Well, I'll be there tomorrow. Mama, don't you cry. Well, I'll be there tomorrow. Mama, don't you cry. I'm gonna kiss things, lonesome Texas blues goodbye. See if I can't find. I'm going out to Denver. See if I can't find.